The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our Friday forum in a week, once again, where Trump's desire to occupy Greenland presses on. The TDs return to the Dáil after the winter recess, with both immigration and Grok AI dominating business in Leinster House. Now, to talk about all of this and more, we're joined in studio by Shay Brennan, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Rathdown, Darren O'Rourke, Sinn Féin spokesperson on education and youth and TD for Meath East, and Brenda Power, columnist with the Sunday Times. Brenda, good morning and welcome. Morning. We'll start with you. It looks like on Grok AI that Elon Musk has blinked.
It does look that way. I mean, I think the pressure on him worldwide was becoming too much to bear. And the risk, I suppose, that a ban or a criminalisation of what his output might extend to X itself is probably what concentrated the mind. And particularly the fact that the authorities in California were threatening a crackdown. So, but I mean, it seems to be he's kind of saying, well, you know, none of this was really ever unlawful anyway. But I mean, I'll indulge you, basically, with your hysterics.
During the week, we were teasing out, Shay, that, you know, if people in Ireland had used this to do this and they did it on X, that in a sense, the servers that X uses have these images. These images are illegal under Irish law. So the people who store those images include the owners of X. Therefore, they could be prosecuted.
Yeah, no doubt. X can be prosecuted and hopefully will be prosecuted as a result of this. Obviously, information is being gathered and investigations are underway to determine exactly the nature of that prosecution. But clearly, criminal activity has taken place. The platform is central to the dissemination of child sexual abuse images material. And that is a criminal act in Ireland and has to be fully prosecuted.
But the question is, though, Pat, whether they can, because, you know, they have liberties and get out of jail clauses that the traditional media do not have when it comes to being publishers. So they can turn around and say, well, we're just a billboard. Yeah,
that's why we teased out the whole idea that if they have them on their servers, these are illegal images and the servers are owned by the company.
But they have special concessions that traditional media don't have. So the same obligations don't apply to them.
That's when they publish, but actually the possession of them, that's what I'm interested in, that they actually have them on their servers. Darren?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is, you know, really depressing and frightening in so many respects. I have to say, I think a lot of the week has been speculation, pondering whataboutery, you know, what exactly is the legalities and how do we, you know, implement those. I think that is a problem in and of itself. I think I would say we shouldn't have been in this position at all in the first place. I'm a member of the AI committee, and a lot of what we propose is in relation to risk registers, in relation to risk assessment. My understanding is under the Digital Services Act that every new piece of product and service is supposed to be risk assessed before it goes live. That obviously wasn't the case here. I think there are very significant factors. And I have to say, you know, whether it's government ministers, the Taoiseach, I have to say Commissioner Naman, it's just by sheer chance that Ann Garda Síochána were before the Communications Committee this week. There has been a huge amount of, well, I must go and talk to somebody else, or I'm not entirely sure. Or
yeah, we had Niamh Smith on during the week and asked her, suppose you're a victim of any of this, where do you go? And she mentioned you can go to the Data Protection Commissioner, you can go to the Garda, you can go to this, that and the other. And I really want to know, no, don't give me a list of maybes and who I might. I just want to know, what do you do? You pick up the phone or you get online or you knock on the TDs. What do you do?
Well, as far as I could see last week, the Department of Justice were saying it's Department of Communications. Department of Communications were saying it's Justice. They were both saying, well, Commissioner Mann and the Data Protection Committee. And of course, the Gardaí can get involved under 10-year-old legislation that criminalises the production of child porn images. But as you say, there's no single authority that you can go to and say, right, this image of me has been produced. But as you say, Darren, isn't it so depressing, Pat, when you consider the potential of AI? And the unimaginable creative, you know, possibilities that people are using it to take women's clothes off.
Just on that, let's be very clear here, because I understand there may be confusion as to where people go, and you know, victims of this do need to report this as soon as they possibly can. And the first place you should go is hotline.ie. And Once you've done that.
And we had Mick Moran on during the week, and Mick Moran said it's of a dubious question whether or not it's actually illegal what was being done. So that was hotline itself.
You must, if you feel there's been a crime against you, you must report that. Go to hotline.ie. Let's be clear on that.
Getting down
You still have the avenue of An Garda Síochána. You can still go to the regulators and by all means, follow up. And you should follow up with these other institutions.
But what he was saying, the imagery, and most people were outraged about the idea of children being undressed. But there is a provision made in the law for families taking pictures of their kids running around their nappies in the back garden, that if you make all sort of nude or semi-nude imagery of children illegal, sure, every computer in the country which has a few snaps from the back garden would be guilty. So therefore, they had to allow for that. So the image has got to be distinctly sexualized for it to be an offence. Thereby hangs a tale.
But, I mean, you already have a data protection rights over your own image. So, again, that should be something that maybe the data protection commissioner should be able to address. If somebody can say, look, this is me, this is clearly not a picture I posed
and
for.
And I think one of the, to pick up on Brenda's point, you know, and it's a constant conversation we have around the potential benefits of this. But I think, like, the vast amount of experience we have in terms of the internet, in terms of social media, we know where this stuff goes. And here, let's talk about the personality that is Elon Musk. We know where this stuff goes. You saw his initial response and you know, he did blink. But in the future, again, you know, I think there's clear indication of the potential for harm in relations. So that,
but wasn't the threat to X itself that made him blink?
But I think the point I was going to make was that very risk is the real reason why we need absolutely robust, no questioning when these issues arise. We need rapid response absolute clarity in terms of the roles, the responsibilities, the powers. No, you know, standing with one arm as long as the other when these issues arise. We should be out ahead of them in order that we might reap the positive benefits of AI.
The Gardaí said themselves at committee there on Wednesday that they're investigating 200 cases currently. Mm. They felt that the legislation in place, and there's five separate acts that deal with this, there's sufficient legislation in place to allow them to go ahead and prosecute. Due process, therefore, then needs to take place. The immediate thing that needs to happen, because people, you know, there's been horrific images put up here, and yeah, there is real human victims behind this. The immediate thing that needs to happen is the content needs to be removed. Now that's happened, and as Pat said in your words, Elon Musk blinked. What's quite concerning here is he only removed, or X only removed, that application, or the ability of that application to do what it was doing, from countries where, in his words, it's illegal. Now, that brings into question the morality of that platform.
And my point is exactly that. Like, essentially, the point is Elon Musk blinked. What if he didn't blink? What if they just continued, you know?
We are dealing with massive hypocrisy in the United States. We have President Trump encouraging the protesters in Iran to keep protesting for their freedoms, including freedom of speech, saying help is coming. Then, he doesn't send that help anyway. He doesn't bomb anybody or go in anywhere. But at the same time, arresting people in Minneapolis for demanding the same right to protest. Mm. I mean, there's massive hypocrisy.
And we just have to accept that is the real world.
And the question here is Elon Musk's, warped idea of free speech. Mm. You know, and there are balances to be. I don't dispute that, but I think very few.
Because he's been making the point that Grok, what a terrible name anyway, is not generating these images. People are requesting a tool that we provided in Grok to generate these images. This is human beings doing what human beings do. But why on earth such a tool was already extended to people?
I think we have to ask the question of, like, there was a massive spike in terms of
people downloading it when they heard about it.
So, like, you know, that question of, you know, what is in the human condition? Yeah. I think, you know, that's why we need really strong regulation on everybody.
In fairness, there are laws and there is regulation there. We have to. Ireland is in a unique position here. X is clearly based here, as are 15 of the 25 very large online platforms, or VLOPs, as the Digital Services Act calls them. So, whereas the DSA, the Digital Services Act, and the EU Commission will regulate that, when there's criminal activity, that falls to local laws and local law enforcement.
But I have to say, Shay, you can't, given the week that we have had, say that, yeah, I have absolute confidence in the system that we have in place here. Given that, you know, if this scenario was to arise again in the morning, like it hasn't been comprehensive, it hasn't been robust, and actually there hasn't been
prosecutions. Two things. One is the question of how many of you here use X?
Yeah.
Use X?
I've been on Twitter since back in the day. I have an X account, but I haven't used it in well over a year.
But you're still registered with X?
I'm still registered.
Yeah, I'm the same. And
yeah, I came off it.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah, no.
Nor am I. So, I mean, there's the hypocrisy at the heart of all of this.
Yeah, and look, what I would say in relation to that is, you know, I'm not a blue tick subscriber. It is a really, I find it the most useful platform for rapid information, like what essentially following
the
news.
A number of people have made that point that, like a Lewis problem, you get it quicker on X than you do on the Lewis website. But here's the second thing which I thought I wanted to mention. I heard Michael O'Leary talking about this on The Hard Shoulder. If you don't allow people to post anonymously, problem solved, he said. In other words, if you're putting filth or political opinions or whatever it is online, that you have to identify yourself, as all of you do if you're doing stuff online. And you say who you
some,
are.
I heard some argument that, you know, this idea that only blue tick customers would be able to access this facility, and, you know, there was that charge that this is just about making money out of it. But there was also the argument that this was about being able to identify those people who were using it. But absolutely, that's a huge...
No, but I mean, it's a simple solution. Now, I know they'll say dissidents in various war-torn countries and where there's a lack of democracy, that they use the anonymity of these platforms to make their points and to garner support. However, in non-war-torn areas, why not have it? If you want to post X on X in Ireland, you have to say who you are.
But isn't that the new proposal with the digital wallet from Patrick O'Donovan, that you will need your PPS number or whatever to be able to access certain social media?
That's for kids, though, isn't it?
But I mean, if that facility is there, it could possibly be extended to everybody? Because, as you say, you know, hard cases make bad law. Of course, people in Syria and Iran need to be able to post anonymously, but not in Ireland.
Why doesn't everyone just delete X? Problem solved, says Own. Another one. The companies must take down this stuff expeditiously if they've been put on notice. If they fail to take it down, they can be prosecuted, and that is currently the law.
But to make the point in relation to... I don't agree that if everybody comes off X, that's the problem solved. I think the problem is there, and what the solution to it is legislation and enforcement. That's what needs to happen. And we don't, you know... Like
if X goes,
that's exactly the point.
And there's constantly been that charge. And I think it is a reality that, look, this is very technical stuff that essentially legislators, and I'm one of them, get the run around by big tech.
Well, it's about building on the base of legislation and regulation that we have, both domestically and in the EU.
But here's the issue at the heart of all of this. And Brenda mentioned it earlier, they're not seen as publishers, they're seen as platforms. If they were designated as publishers, then they face the full rigour of the law and the massive costs that would be incurred if they libel or defame people on their platforms. Mm. So why is the EU tardy in actually not doing that? Because it is the Wild West of social media at the moment, and if that was done, it would tame them pretty much immediately.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, there are many platforms out there. Some are more problematic than others. Some respond well to regulation. Many, in fact, respond very well to regulation. We have an outlier here, and my concern is that any action we take directly against this outlier, it's just going to be replaced, as you said, by another. So any legislation and regulation we put in place has to be robust enough to deal with any successors that come
to
these
platforms. But if they're all publishers... It doesn't matter whether Y follows X and W follows Y. It doesn't matter. All the publishers, and therefore they have to be held responsible financially for their offences. Anyway,
well, do you agree, Pat? Sorry, just before you move on. I mean, this is an issue with regard to road safety as well, that if the deterrents are strong enough, people will desist from this kind of behaviour. And you see people coming before the courts all the time with millions of child porn images, and they're getting suspended sentences. I mean, the guards are, the when you think of the resources it requires to investigate these, there's no punishment.
Okay, we move on internationally. How will the Greenland saga end, Shay? Will it be the 51st state?
Hopefully not. There's clearly a lot to play out here. We are facing unprecedented geopolitical issues at the moment, and that's clearly brought about by a lot of uncertainty and unpredictability coming from the White House, and seemingly a certain urgency around quote-unquote imperialistic views. I think there's a sensible solution to Greenland, and that is that the US already has access to as many bases as they want there. Mm. They historically have had
But that's
that.
The sensible solution, and
they've,
he knows that. They have deals where they can go in and chase up the rare earths. They have deals where they can boost their military presence. They've got all of those deals. And Trump says, I want more. I want to own this. As Scott Lucas said during the week on the program, he said, Trump just wants stuff. Mm. And it doesn't matter whether it's a peace prize from FIFA, a shared peace medal from Machado, or whether it's all of Greenland. He wants stuff. He's an he is the definition of avarice.
And he may well be, but he's meeting opposition, robust opposition from Europe. Europe is united on this. Ireland stands behind Greenland, behind Denmark, as do all of our European partners. In fact, Germany, the Nordic countries, and I believe France have already sent exploratory forces up there with a view to two things. One is reacting to what the US have said in that it's not being defended against Russia and China, so building out that capability. And if that need is satisfied, Donald Trump therefore has no further claim. And two, if this does go further, and hopefully it doesn't, to be in a position to robustly defend the island.
Yeah, it all speaks to the collapse of the international order and international law and the importance.
Do you think he's doing Putin's bidding? I mean, this might fracture NATO, which is what Putin wants. So do you think that this is not necessarily Trump himself? I'm not sure he's that bright, but the people around him are doing Putin's bidding because they want to do this geopolitical division of the globe.
And there's definitely an argument that could be followed through in relation to that. There's also the argument in relation to the very fact, as Shea said, the Danes essentially will cooperate in terms of military strategy with the United States here as NATO partners and otherwise. But the fact that the United States has essentially extracted itself from the Arctic and it's essentially, this near-Arctic strategy on behalf of the Chinese and the Russians, that they're the ones that have been paying attention to it in recent years when the US, had a dominance there and now is scrambling in the form of Donald Trump.
I mean, the thing about this, Pat, is there is no knowing where this is going to end, to answer your question. I mean, you saw that a couple of weeks ago, Trump beefed up the Monroe Doctrine from the 1870s. Mm-hmm. And so it's now called the Donroe Doctrine. And basically, this is my hemisphere, this is your hemisphere, stay out of it. And geographically, Greenland is North America. Territorially, politically, it is European. And the only thing the only certainty about him and his unpredictability is one of his weapons, I guess. But the only certainty about him is that he does believe that might is right. I think his advisor, Stephen Miller, came out recently and said, since the dawn of time, it has been an iron rule that the power of strength, of might, of force is what carries the day. And if we have to take Greenland by force, we will.
And this gets us to appeasement. How appeasement, certainly in terms of the trade deal and the tariffs, it did not work, appeasing Trump. They just got punished for appeasing. Instead of saying, look, these are the weapons that Europe has against Trump. These are the markets that we offer. We can shut them down. We can do X, Y, and Z. The same militarily, you can say to Trump, get out of Germany. Take your troops out of Germany. Take your troops out of all over Europe, Spain, all the other places they are. They have weapons. They can stand up. China stood up and won the argument. So, appeasing this man.
Yeah, no, I think, there is a United States versus European Union, that's come up, whether in terms of tariffs, actually in so much of his foreign policy, those who were his, the United States allies now seem to be their enemies. And, the very definition of Trump's politics is chaos and uncertainty, and it's his modus operandi.
Do you believe that is a conscious strategy on his part? You know, utter disruption so that everything can be rebuilt to his recipe.
Whether it's strategy or just inherent in the man, I'm not sure, but it's absolutely a feature of you know.
I mean, everything. It would be extraordinary that Greenland falls and Iran gets bombed just to take the focus off the Epstein file.
This is exactly the effect that it has had, whether that was the objective or not. That's definitely what's happened.
And the stuff that's kind of trickling out now is really abhorrent about Trump. Mm. Now, whether it's true or not, or whether it's, you know, conspiracy theories. But if it is true, it would spell his downfall. But
and it was getting traction with the MAGA shower. They were burning their MAGA caps and they were protesting against him because, you know, this would very much strike at the heart of his sort of fundamentalist following or support. But he's managed to deflect completely from that.
The question is, if he was to be impeached, and that is probably more and more likely as time goes on, with all the overreach that he's doing in many areas of his endeavour, would we be better off with President Vance, Shay?
Not necessarily. I think Trump is, and this has been said before, he's a symptom of what's currently going on in the US. Now, he's bringing a certain level of unpredictability to the equation. I would think that MAGA would endure. However, it may be more strategic and more predictable and therefore easier to do business with.
Brenda, President Vance?
I can't believe that he'd be worse. I mean, I was very impressed by his book, The Hillbilly Elegy. Yeah. I like most people, I read that long before I'd ever heard of him.
That was the time when he called Trump Hitler.
He called him Hitler.
Yeah, but I mean, he
wrote that to kind of explain the Trump phenomenon, if you like, and he was very hostile to it. He's a clever man. I really don't.
President Vance, Darren?
We may end up with him anyway. Okay. You know, maybe in different circumstances.
Little Marco might have something to say about that.
Yeah, and time will tell in relation to it. But I think, you know, and actually to relate to our earlier conversation, I remember his contribution at Emmanuel Macron's AI summit. And he said, this needs to be American technology and American regulation and American values, MAGA values.
We will have to leave it there. Shay Brennan, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Rathdown. Darren O'Rourke, Sinn Féin spokesperson for education and youth, TD for Meath East. Brenda Power, columnist with the Sunday Times. Thank you one and all. Don't forget our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Go Loud app. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show. The winner of our Lingus competition is Monday's qualifier, Francis Turley from Dublin, who's won a trip for two to a European destination of their choice with 5 days in a 4-star hotel. Congratulations to Francis. My thanks to our team, editor Emer Bradley, senior producer Claire Darmody, producer Niamh Dunn, researcher Cian Burns, broadcast assistant Amory Kane, Cormac McDonagh on sound.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.